there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome in to the New Orleans Pelicans Podcast, the official podcast of your New Orleans Pelicans, a podcast dedicated to everything you need to know about the squad. Hear from players, coaches, broadcasters, and those who cover the NBA on a daily basis. It's time to flock up. The New Orleans Pelicans Podcast starts right now.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the New Orleans Pelicans podcast, official podcast of the New Orleans Pelicans. Got an exciting radio roundtable with Aaron Summers and John DeShazer, part of our radio network, as they will give their takes to something very diabolical that Jim Eichenhoff of NewOrleansPelicans.com came up with, a Pelicans draft of postseason wishes or wants or needs. What kind of player did you want on a three-on-three game? You'll see. We'll explain it. I promise it's fun. And it just kind of goes to a bigger, larger point that we're going to make, that this team is here for a reason, and that's because they are good. Now, that said, it is no longer win and get in. Now it's win or go home. And that's where the Pelicans are with the Sacramento Kings tonight, 8:30 here at the Smoothie King Center, where we currently are as the team, Jim Eichenhofer, NewOrleansPelicans.com, who joins us, moved shoot around to the arena for the first time.
Yeah,
ever.
And hopefully that will result in some dividends in terms of maybe shooting the ball better. It seems like, I mean, you can look it up. They've been 2 to 3% better from the three-point range all season on the road compared to at home, which is such an outlier if you look across the NBA. It's so rare that a team does better on the road. So maybe just getting a little bit more time, a little bit more shooting in this arena will help and just increase the familiarity.
Yesterday after practice, head coach Willie Green, it was his first time in meeting media since the news of Zion Williamson going to be out for at least 2 weeks. The date that the team set to be reevaluated, or for him to be reevaluated, is May 1st. That would be game 5 in a first-round series against Oklahoma City, just to give you all a timeline. So clearly, the Pels, if they are going to get into the postseason, and if they're going to ever see Zion Williamson back, they're going to have to push that first-round series, either sweep OKC or push it into a game 6 or 7, more than likely. Bottom line, though, Coach Green was asked a question that probably all Pels fans want to feel right now. How do you feel about your team's chances tonight?
I have a ton of confidence in this group. We've been in this scenario before. We've been in these types of games before, so they're well aware of what's ahead of us, and we've beat Sacramento 5 times, but this is different. This sixth game is going to be the hardest, so we're expecting it.
Larry Nance had this to say.
Just the way their pace of play is just so rapid. I mean, obviously Fox does that by himself, generates all that pace, but the way Keegan Murray's been playing has been both him and Sabonis' gravity has been great. Keon Ellis has stepped up huge. It's hard, you miss a guy like Kevin Herter or a guy like Malik Monk, and Keon Ellis can step in and play that role to a T. really impressive. So they're playing really well. They're playing hot, and you know, this, like I said, this is not going to be like the first five matchups. It's going to be that much more intense and that much harder.
And Jim, I guess that's one of the reasons we want to do this exercise in our next segment here in our radio roundtable. Very understandable for Pels fans right now to be like, oh, the guy that scored 40 on Tuesday is done. We're done. We're cooked. We've had two chances to get in. We're done. One in whatever, six games straight. We're just done. We're cooked. We're not very good. Then I think it is hard. I understand it because it's what you've seen lately, what you've done for me lately, what have I seen and felt lately. But this team has talent, and there's a reason that they're in this situation to host for a second straight time this week, a chance to get into the postseason. Is that the way I need to think about it tonight?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we know, we've watched the team all season, how much talent they have. I do think that there's definitely some surface-level analysis, especially nationally, media-wise, where people say, okay, Zion's out. It's kind of almost like a simple equation. Zion's out. Brandon Ingram's only been back for two games and doesn't look like himself yet, which is understandable after he'd been out for multiple weeks with his injury. And then you look at just the most recent games and you say, because of that, people are predicting them to lose this game. Or like you said, there's sentiment of, you know, they have no chance and the season's over. But I think it's pretty easy if you look at the way that they played against Sacramento all season and then just in general. I mean, after the last homestand when they went 1-5, it was kind of a thought of like, oh, they're in big trouble. They come back and win four games, all four games on their West Coast trip. Then they come back and lose these two games. So, I mean, we've been in definitely kind of a roller coaster lately, but it does seem like every time things have looked bleak or things have turned in a bad direction in terms of a losing streak or that kind of thing, they have responded. Now, obviously, in this case, they don't have a lot of wiggle room. They're going to have to respond tonight and win tonight, or, you know, that'll be it. But that's what I'm hoping for, is that, you know, we've seen them come back from games where they haven't played well or stretches where they've been bad, including that recent homestand where they lost 5 out of 6, mostly to some of the top teams in the league. So that's what you hope happens tonight. And, I mean, I think, you know, if there's fans out there that are saying, like, you know, it doesn't matter that much if they make the playoffs because their odds are going to be stacked against them against Oklahoma City. I mean, I totally disagree from maybe not just that standpoint, but also, I mean, think about it this way. If they win tonight, they will have made the playoffs 2 out of the last 3 years, which is something they haven't done. They haven't made the playoffs twice in a 3-year span since 2011. So you're talking, we were much younger in those days, 13 years ago, Gus. And
wow.
Also, if they don't win tonight, if they lose tonight, that's 2 years in a row that they miss the playoffs. And to me, with the talent that this team has and the players that they have, that would be really discouraging. I don't know if discouraging is the right word to put it, but it would be
disappointing.
It would stink.
Yeah.
It would be like to miss the playoffs 2 years in a row with the caliber of players.
And especially, Jim, you were just 2.5 weeks ago, you were in fourth.
Right. For sure.
That hurt.
That would hurt.
There's a stinging. That's one of those fire ant bites. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. And I feel like if they don't make the playoffs, that the next 5 months we're going to be, I'll speak for myself here, be waking up in the middle of the night screaming, thinking about some of the things, any one thing that could have gone a different way 100%. That could have got you in the playoffs. But if you make it tonight, I feel like a lot of that stuff goes away somewhat. You know, the fact that you were a Sacramento Phoenix one basket away from getting in the playoffs that night, the fact that you could have gotten in on Sunday against the Lakers, the fact that it was tied with 3 minutes left in the game, in the play-in game. So, and one last thing I'll throw in too, there's only been one team in the history of the NBA that's won 49 games or more and not made the playoffs. It was the 1972 Suns. So no team has won this many games and not gotten in the last 50-plus years. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they won't be part of, they won't add their name to that list. But another thing that was so funny when I was looking at this stat, the Golden State Warriors they won 46 games this year. They're sixth on that list. So just from a couple nights ago, there was a team that is in the history of the NBA for the most wins in a season and didn't get in the playoffs. So, and so Sacramento, no matter who loses tonight, that they're going to be in that top 10 as far as most wins in NBA history, not in the playoffs. So what does that tell us, Gus? To me, it tells us, again, like, how good is the Western Conference, that you have some of these historic accomplishments happening. But hopefully the Pelicans can avoid that. But if they lose tonight, they would be they'd be the second team to go 49-33 and not get in the playoffs. With the last team to do it was back when they let a lot fewer teams into the playoffs, when it was much more difficult.
That is not the kind of history that you want to make. That is for sure.
Right.
When we come back, it's going to be a very fun segment. Aaron Summers, John DeShays are part of the Pelicans Radio Network. We're going to do a draft. I know. The NFL draft is next week. The NBA draft is a couple months from now. You'll see what we're doing. Stick around.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, good morning, everyone, as we are literally in the room where head coach Willie Green gives his pregame speech and postgame speech, and hopefully it will be a very good one when it comes to that postgame. It is time for a radio roundtable. Jim Eichenhoff for Pelicans.com, Aaron Summers, and John DeShays are with us here as well. And we're going to do something fun and a little bit different here as well to better explain what it is we're going to do. The man that created the sanity or insanity, depending on who you ask, Mr. Jim Eichenhoff for Pelicans.com. What are we doing today?
Thanks, Gus, I think. We're going to do like a draft, basically, where we're going to go through the players that we want to see the Pelicans on the Pelicans roster be in the playoffs. Obviously, the experience of 2 years ago in the Phoenix series didn't result in a playoff series win, but I think it was an awesome experience for the fans, the players, the coaches, you know, just to be able to get that playoff. Those six games that they played in, I think there was a lot of memorable stuff. If you go back 2 years later, I think for some of the players, it was among the most memorable games that they played in and some of the moments that they had. We remember Jose Alvarado getting 8 second violations against Chris Paul. We remember some of the stuff that B.I. did. I don't want to go into too much detail because I want to leave that for the draft that we're about to have. But basically what we're going to do is we're going to go through the three of us between John DeShays, Aaron Summers, and myself. And we're going to select which players we want to see in the playoffs. Obviously, for that to happen, they need to beat Sacramento tonight. I don't know, this might go without saying, but to me, this is such an important thing tonight that they get in the playoffs and have the opportunity to play Oklahoma City. And so with that, I guess we'll start our draft with Aaron Summers with the first pick. I don't know if we're going to have like a time limit on this or something, but probably not. I don't think we need to put the pressure on you.
Can just give me the rap signal if I'm like taking too long.
Yeah, we'll either
talking too much.
No, you can clock in here.
You can talk as long as you want. I meant in terms of time to make the pick. So
okay,
if
well,
you have
with
the
first pick, I'm going Brandon Ingram.
She's ready to go. There it is.
Just all right. Because if you go off of the only postseason experience that he had 2 years ago in that series versus the Suns, he averaged 27 points, shot 47.5 from the floor, 6.2 rebounds, and 6.2 assists, led the team in minutes. I mean, he was the guy for the Pelicans during that playoff run. So I just think that that's who I'm going with, especially if Zion Williamson isn't in. You know, a lot's going to be on Brandon Ingram's shoulders, and I think he's going to rise to the occasion once again.
And I should have prefaced when I explained this too that that was Gus and I did something semi-similar to this on the radio recently, and we talked about how excited we were to see Zion in the playoffs. So that would have been amazing. And actually, I mean, if you listen to Larry Nance yesterday, they're not ruling out the possibility that he could play. So hopefully
based off of his play-in game, his only postseason game, he would probably be the number one pick for everybody.
Sure. For sure.
But we don't know. It's a little uncertainty as far as when he's going to return and if the Pelicans are going to win tonight, et cetera, et cetera. So I think we're taking him off the board.
Right. For this.
Okay.
For this exercise, we'll take him off the board, but we'll keep our fingers crossed.
All right, then I'm sticking with B.I.
All right, so Brandon Ingram goes first. John DeCesar, who you got with the second?
Oh, this is easy. C.J. McCollum. 22 in a game in the playoffs against Phoenix. And more than that, I think it's a redemption thing for CJM. The last three games of that series, only 4 of 22 from three-point range against the Suns in that series. Also, 1 for 9 from three-point range in the play-in game against the Lakers. So I think C.J. McCollum's going to bounce back. He's been that guy from three-point range this entire season. They need him. Franchise record, 239 threes this season. And really, for the last 16 games of the season, 48% from three when he was scoring 26 a game. I don't think the guy that we saw Sunday is going to be the guy that we see Friday, and I think that guy is going to return and be consistent throughout the playoffs because I think there's a bit of redemption there. So C.J. McCollum, number two.
How about the fact, too, that he made the playoffs 9 years in a row with the first eight being in Portland, then the ninth was here, and then last year was the first time he missed it. So I feel like he's itching to get back in the playoffs, and hopefully we'll see that as well.
Yeah.
I guess with the third pick, this is really tough. There's a bunch of good options, but I'm going to go with Trey Murphy, and part of that is because he's such
a third pick, huh?
Yes, because he's such a different player at this stage of his career, in his third year than he was when he was a rookie. He played in all six games in that Phoenix series. One of the interesting notes that I looked up that I thought was interesting that also kind of indicates how much different of a guy he is in year three compared to 2 years ago. All of the shots that he took in that Phoenix playoff series were three-pointers. He did not take one, or all the shots that he made, I should say. He was 0 for 3. He only took 3 2-pointers in that whole series against the Suns. So I just want to see, you know, the impact that he could make in a playoff series against Oklahoma City and then beyond, just based on where he is. I mean, I think he's one of those guys, too, across the NBA. I feel like a lot of people who kind of follow the Pelicans from a distance keep watching him and saying, man, this guy has a huge upside and a high ceiling. So for him to get the opportunity to be on the playoff stage with a lot more maturity under his belt, with how much improvement he's made, I feel like he's a guy that people could watch and say, like, man, this guy's pretty good. We know a lot about Zion. We know a lot about B.I. We know a lot about C.J., but this Trey Murphy guy is a breakthrough player. And so that's why I'm going to pick him. There was a bunch of other options that were very close, and I might regret this pick later that I didn't. But I'm sure maybe somebody else will be on the board that I can take later.
His opportunity spikes. He's going to start. Zion's going to be out for weeks,
no doubt.
Plural. Mm-hmm. And so his opportunity spikes, and we've seen what he's been able to do as a starter. So that's a very, very, very logical and solid pick.
And I shouldn't use the word regret. I should use the word that there's another guy that could have been an option too. So
somebody else could pleasantly surprise you. But
exactly.
I will say, speaking to the maturity of Trey Murphy and stepping up to the occasion, little birdie told me that he was in the SKC last night shooting. So he is trying to get familiar with these hoops and get a shot back here at home.
We probably should have said that at the start of this. Why are we here right now and not at the studio?
Because the shoot around is being held in the Smoothie King Center.
Makes a lot of sense.
For really the first time all season.
Yeah.
It's funny, one of the security people said to me something like, I haven't seen you in this building in the morning since Monty Williams was the coach.
Exactly.
And I'm like, yeah, I think you're right. That probably was the last time. Because, I mean, since the practice facility opened in 2013 or 2014, one of those 2 years, and they've been holding shoot around there pretty consistently since then. So this is definitely an unusual occurrence.
It makes a lot of sense. The Sacramento Kings knocked down 18 threes in their win against Golden State. I think the three ball is going to be massively important in this game here tonight. When they last played without Zion, 133-100, CJ had 7. The team had, 18 or 19 made threes in that game. So the three ball matters. So I think that's a good pick. All right,
you know why it makes sense? you're 21-20 at home. That's why it makes sense. You need to get in here and play a little bit more.
Your three-point percentage.
You've been a much better team on the road than you have been at home.
No doubt. All right, so Brandon Ingram goes first. C.J. McCollum goes second. You just selected Trey Murphy. Aaron Summers with the fourth pick.
Oh, this is a tough one. But I'm going to go with Herb Jones because I think you're going to need – you got your. If we're going with the three guys we have on the squad so far, Herb Jones, you need your defensive, you know, stopper. He was very impressive against Chris Paul after Chris Paul was doing unworldly things to us in the Suns series. He held Paul to 4 points in game four in 35 minutes played, forced three turnovers. He blocked three three-pointers. He was phenomenal in that game four performance. But just overall, he brings such a good presence to that side of the court. And I think offensively, his game has grown a lot this season. So maybe he can add a little bit more. Last playoff series, he only averaged 11 points. But I think that that number could increase. And we might need it to increase if we're going to be down Z.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the guys I thought about, too, when I talked about, I mean, between Trey, Herb, and Jose, just being able to see them in year three compared to when they were rookies. JD, I think you're up.
I'm up, and I'm taking Jonas Valanciunas. And I'm taking the big fella because he, in 54 career playoff games, he's averages a double-double.
Yeah.
And his production has plummeted here recently down the stretch of this season. Last 20 games of the regular season, 8.5 points. And, you know, basically 18 minutes. But when the playoff series starts and things slow down a little bit and you need to bump and grind a little bit, I think you go to the big fella and put him out there and you take advantage of the mismatches that he seems to give this team naturally. We don't always seem to see this team take advantage of those. But I think when you have that kind of guy in the playoffs, he becomes a little bit more invaluable. I understand the team wants to play small at certain points, and you want to match up with what the opponent is doing, but sometimes you just go to the big fella and let him work.
I was shocked when I was looking back at some of his stats over the playoff series against the Suns.
Me too.
In game one, he had 18 points and 25 boards, 13 offensive rebounds in that game. And that's just insane. He was just attacking the glass throughout that series, 15 rebounds in game four. So, yeah, not a bad pick.
He had the 25 rebounds in game one, total rebounds, and then he had 26 points in game four.
Yeah.
I remember him having a good series, but I felt the same way when I looked back at the stats. I'm like, I don't remember him having that.
I think it's because of what we've seen lately.
Yeah.
Like, just haven't been using him the same.
I mean, 2 years in NBA terms is forever. It's like, you know, a century.
But, I mean, it's not like he's fallen off. It's just the philosophy and the way the team wants to
and
play.
His usage,
kind of,
yeah.
You know, and so his usage rate has gone down. And so obviously the production's gone down, but he's still the same guy. I say the same guy, and he's like 1-19 from three in the last 17 games. We're going to throw that out the window because we don't expect to see him shooting a lot of threes.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like sometimes with him, with his 3-point shot, he can get into a rhythm where he kind of has like these clusters of games.
I think his confidence is shot from three right now. And I think he shoots them now just because he's open. Because it's like, okay, I got to put it up. I'm so open. But I think he really is really uncomfortable with it right now. And hopefully maybe he'll bang one in and get the confidence back. But because you only need to see one go down. But the confidence doesn't seem to be there right now.
Yeah, he seems like a momentum 3-point shooter. Like if he makes two in the first quarter, he might end up with 5 or 6. But
or if he's playing the Clippers,
right, exactly. Or if he hasn't seen one go in, though, he's going to be really hesitant to take one. Like you said, with the 6th pick, I feel like at this point I could have actually taken him around earlier. So I'm cool with him being still on the board. I'm going with Jose Alvarado.
Sounds like a value pick. Sounds like a value pick, yeah.
I mean, we all remember, I mentioned the 8-second violations that he got against Chris Paul. I mean, I can't imagine a crowd ever being more excited in the history of the NBA to see somebody draw an 8-second violation because, I mean, we always talk about him. He kind of has like a list, I feel like, in his head somewhere of Grand Theft Alvarado guys. Like, he's like, oh, I got Chris Paul. I got this other point guard. And he was able to check off a couple of those guys in that series. But also, I mean, he was actually extremely clutch offensively in that series as well. I remember game 5, they go back to Phoenix, it's 2-2. They didn't win that game, but he almost brought them back into the lead in the fourth quarter. He made a couple huge three-pointers. He had 2 steals in every game from game 4 through 6. He averaged 8 points a game. He shot 49% from the field. We're never surprised. We saw this again Tuesday in the play-in game against the Lakers. We're never surprised when this guy plays his best basketball when it's the most important and it's the biggest moment of the season. So that's another reason why I considered him in the first round, but I'm happy to see him fall to round two, and I'm more than pleased to take him.
Well, just in
terms, Brock Purdy.
But he is definitely somebody I'm excited to see play again just because of the energy that he brings. You never know what he's going to do. He was flying around on Tuesday, and he's just such a crowd favorite. No matter what happens, they get up and they cheer for him. So he's always a fun guy to watch.
I did it on purpose just to kind of see a different perspective, right, at the end of the game, to see what the TNT guys were saying. And Charles Barkley, I felt like every other highlight, or during the highlight, every other word was Jose Alvarado changed the rhythm, changed the, you know, the way the game went in the second half, the way he was able to work with Zion, the pick and roll, just the energy. But to your point, Aaron, he brought up in his mind the reason the Pels took that lead in the second half was Jose Alvarado.
Yeah, Jose just needs to channel and use his powers for good and not evil, because he can get a little sideways and you know, things can get a little bit chippy, and he can do some things that aren't conducive to projecting the team to the lead, let's say, because really he was fortunate not to be tossed out of that game.
Yeah,
he was really fortunate.
I remember you saying
not
in the broadcast,
be tossed.
Yeah, you thought he was
out
gone
of that game. Yeah, I thought he was gone. I mean, he headbutted the guy and then he jumped in his face. So fortunate that one of the secondary officials didn't run up and toss him out. But, you know, when he channels it properly, he can be obviously a valuable asset. And he was the second best player in that game for the Pelicans, I thought.
Yeah. As a huge Jose Alvarado supporter, I didn't see any of what you described. I have no idea what you're talking about.
And neither did the
I need to go back.
So look at you.
I love that. No, that's good stuff.
So right. I guess we're into round three, and Aaron Summers, you are now on the clock.
All right, I'm going to go with Larry Nance because he has obviously the experience of being there. He has gotten pretty far in the playoffs. And then when he was here during that Suns series, over 9 points, nearly 6 rebounds a game. And he came in and had some really big moments, affected some things. So I think that, you know, he's a solid guy you can lean on. He's somebody that this team has definitely been using a lot more as well. So that's what I'm going with.
You know, I think one of the most interesting things about his contributions 2 years ago against Phoenix was he had only played like a handful of regular season games for New Orleans, because after the trade in February that also included CJ McCollum, he was injured for part of that stretch. So, I mean,
he just had his knee scoped. And
So relative to the roles that each player had on the team that year, he made the biggest playoff impact in terms of comparing what he did before that to the playoffs. I mean, he was massive in terms of how much of a difference he made. He had 15 points in game 6 of that series against Phoenix. We know he's not known as a scorer, but he was able to score a good amount in a couple of those games against
the
Suns.
Do you remember game 2 when we stole the game in Phoenix and he went like running off the court down the tunnel, just like ran around crazy?
Yeah.
And he was like, "We're going home. Let's go. Like, let's get out of here." Yeah. He was nuts, but he was fun to watch.
JD, I think it's your turn.
Oh, this is easy. This is who I should have taken in the first round. Najee, 8th of great. That's my guy. That's my guy. And I don't care, you know, with Najee, I always throw out all statistics, because statistics really don't necessarily tell his impact, because you can get the good Najee, you can get the bad Najee, but you're going to get some Najee one way or the other.
He's going to impact the game in some way.
And so, you know, I like the aggressive guy that he is. When things bog down on offense, Najee will create something. It might not always be good, but for the most part, he will do something. There will not be stagnation with Najee on the floor. And defensively, he is a big guard. He guards people. He's physical. And so I think he's a guy who's made for the playoffs. Maybe, you know, not 35 minutes, but those 15 to 18 minutes maybe, or whatever, 8 to 12, he can give you a nice impact.
With the last pick, I really feel like it comes down to two guys for me between Dyson Daniels and Jordan Hawkins. I don't know if the Hawkins Hive is going to be mad at me for this decision, but I'm going to go with Dyson Daniels. And part of why I pick him is obviously if the Pelicans can win tonight and then make the playoffs and make this whole thing happen, they're going to be playing against Oklahoma City Thunder team that has a bunch of really good wings, really good offensive players between Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jalen Williams, the J-Dub as we know him, Josh Giddey, some of those players. So I'm curious to see him be able to play in the playoffs. And also, too, he didn't play in the play-in game against OKC last year, so this would actually be his first playoff appearance and postseason appearance, excuse me. I mean, he did play 10 minutes in the game against the Lakers the other night, but Dyson Daniels is my pick. I feel like he'll be a useful weapon defensively against the Thunder, and hopefully we will see that series happen, Gus.
Yeah.
I think Hawks people can understand. Right now, Hawk, unfortunately, is not in the rotation, and Dyson is, and Dyson's playing heavy rotation minutes, as a matter of fact. You can flop out him and Herb. You can put him at the point. You can put him in a lot of positions, and he is – I would say probably behind Herb and sometimes ahead of Herb, best defender on this team. He is a really good defender who is now actually looking at the rim. So that's the bonus, that he's not giving you 4-on-5 on offense. He's actually contributing when he makes those drives or when he shoots the three from the corner. He's got to put it up. He's got to force teams to defend him, and he's beginning to do that.
I think he came back from his injury even better in that regard. Sometimes we'd see him be a little timid, not taking the shot. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, he's been pretty aggressive offensively since he's been back.
So now, Gus, it's up to you to decide if there's a 3-on-3 game between each of these three peoples. No, I'm kidding.
No,
of who's going to win. I give JD's squad has a big experience.
They're scrappy.
Too.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I got Naj, and Naj is going to win.
Yeah.
If it's street ball, Naj is going to win. I'm just telling you. He is the dude. If you walk in for a free run, an open run, you better pick him first.
Which of the three teams was going to be calling foul? You're right. I don't think your team's calling foul. They're not going to be worried about foul.
What?
You know what I'm talking about. Like when you play
for
somebody,
what?
The second you get to foul,
I got Jonas
foul.
And Naj.
There's no official, but they're calling
Naj.
Foul.
I got Jonas and Naj. I mean, yeah.
You
that's
have
the
Jonas,
most
Naj,
team.
And CJ. That's pretty solid.
I got to tell you,
I got
have
I got
rebounding.
The bruiser, I got the rebounder,
and
I got
a guy
who
can shoot.
I'm a little concerned about the call your own fouls with that squad.
No, ain't no calling fouls.
Well, that's just it. They would.
Right.
This is open run right here.
There would be a fight before.
How many games did Jonas start this year?
Oh, 82.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's going to start
done.
82 as long as he can walk. As long as he can walk, he's going to start.
It's no doubt about it. To the point, and I do think it was interesting doing this little exercise here as well. In every player that you guys selected, when you gave a reason why, those are the reasons I do think, and I know there was a feeling because Zion's not playing today, how that injury went, and the fact that it's a do-or-die game. But in all the players that y'all picked, and every reason, there's a reason this team almost won 50 games and should have and probably could have won 50-plus games. This team is good. They have the talent. They have the pieces, right? And as we go from left to right here to just wrap this up, JD, I think is that what they need to kind of just focus on in the locker room before they take the court tonight? Everybody that you guys mentioned contributed this year one way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of desperation, and yet this team needs to exhale. I understand it's a one and done. This is as much March Madness NCAA tournament as it gets in the NBA. But you got to exhale. You got to do the things that got you here. And you can't be in such a rush that you really get frenzied and kind of get out of sync. So I think that's going to be key for this team. I think you need to do the things that fit you and that you've done well this season instead of trying to step outside your box. So we don't all of a sudden need Larry Nance shooting 7 threes.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
Not what has gotten this team this far. You just need to do the things that you've done, maybe a little bit better, because obviously Zion Williamson isn't playing. But you expect some of that production to come from Trey Murphy in the starting lineup, and you hope to see a little bit more. Look, CJ McCollum will not play that bad again. He will not shoot the ball the way he shot against the Lakers again. So you get that production. And then Brandon Ingram is going to be, I think, a little bit closer to the Brandon Ingram that we're accustomed to seeing. So, yeah, I mean, this is a good team. And if it was healthy, I said, weeks ago, if it was healthy, I would take this team against any team. Unfortunately, it's not healthy, but you only got to win one. You just got to win one. You just got to win tonight.
To your point about the needing to take a breath and take a break, I think that day off was really good for them after the loss on Tuesday, for everybody to kind of get away, reset. Fortunately or unfortunately, whatever, Brandon didn't. He was right back in the gym first thing in the morning working on a shot. He's still coming back from injury. So I think he seemed like he is in a better place rhythm-wise. His shots were falling yesterday at practice. If you talk to Jose Alvarado, you were there, Jim. He was just, couldn't say anything better about Brandon's approach going into this game tonight and how ready he was going to be. CJ McCollum at one point during practice, you know, a play got stalled, and he said, listen, if you need to, you can always give it back to me. I got you. That's always an option, and I will figure it out. And that's the kind of leadership that you're going to get from CJ. And, you know, again, JD, to that point, I don't think we're going to see what we've seen from him in the past two games. And this team has done it without Zion before. That's was that entire playoff run 2 years ago. And they know that they can do it. I think all of these players are better than they were during that playoff run. So they can band together and get this one tonight, then it's a whole new ball game and momentum is back in their favor.
Gus, I mean, I think you kind of alluded to this, the fact that we have to remember, you know, they almost won 50 games. And I understand, especially nationally, some of the gloom and doom that has happened over the last couple days after Zion got hurt. In terms of specifically this game against Sacramento, I don't mean the team's fortunes overall in terms of how much of an impact Zion being out could have on that. But, you know, I've heard people say things like, you know, it's tough to beat a team six times, which that might be true, but I sure as heck would rather be the team that's 5-0 going into a matchup like this than the team that's 0-5.
No doubt.
So, I mean, from a confidence standpoint, there's so many things that they can look back on that they should see as reasons to be confident in this game. They beat the Kings by 33 in the game that Zion didn't play. He played in four of the games. Almost all of the games he played were also blowouts or double-figure margins. There was really only one game that was decided by 5 points. The other ones were all pretty one-sided by the end of the night. So, and I guess last thing, I'm just looking forward to seeing just how motivated the players are. There's so many reasons. I mean, the number one goal this season was to make the playoffs, or at least the first thing to check off the list. So I can't see any way that they don't come out just fired up tonight. And there's also motivation, I think, too. You know, we mentioned earlier that you want to be able to give Zion a chance to play again this season, but also with him being out right now, there's motivation from that standpoint as well to, you know, I don't mean to sound cheesy, but you kind of want to win a game like this for him to be able to get into the playoffs. So,
well, especially the way he gave everything he got on Tuesday, and then the rest of the team couldn't close it out. So,
I do want to quickly ask you too, especially since you're in the game broadcast, the things to maybe be looking for this week, interviewing a couple different people, Sacramento, you name it. Their number one concern was the Pel's 3-point shooting. So adjustments and trying to do something different to change what they did. So, JD, we saw Boston and some other teams try to face guard CJ McCollum, try to do those things. How do you, does Sacramento have the people to do that? Like, who's that guy that goes out there on the arc to try to defend the Pelicans' 3-point shooting? Do they have a roster makeup like that? Is it Barnes who goes out there to try to do
that? You got Keon Ellis, you have Harrison Barnes. So you have those guys. And if you're Sacramento, look at it. If you're Sacramento and you fear the three and Zion Williamson isn't playing, what are you going to do? I'm going to fan out and I'm going to press 3-point line, and they're going to have to show me. Somebody besides CJ McCollum is going to have to show me that they can make threes consistently.
And that's why, Aaron, my question to you is Trey Murphy. We think of him as the three, but this guy competed in the dunk contest. And one of the things I'm curious about is I can still hear Coach Brown from Sacramento saying they kept running the same play over and over again with Zion, and to get whatever they want in the paint. And the success that this team has had against Sacramento is attacking the paint. Can Trey Murphy be a guy that can attack and drive in the paint and almost kind of do what Zion? I mean, he's not Zion, but you understand what I'm saying? He's quick enough to get off that.
Yeah, if he can get a little space and put the ball on the floor, get to the basket, then by all means, you know, get around the defense.
Like that, get this crowd going. But I'm just saying, like, he's a guy, to me, where here comes John to run out to try to stop him from shooting a three, see ya.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
And there's your driving dish, and there's Jonas, or there's somebody else. I just think something like that, for me, that would be my counter if I'm the Pels. Hey, you want to keep me from doing that on a three? That's fine. We're still going to drive.
I think that Trey Murphy's going to be really important, to JD's point about, you know, if they're focusing in on CJ McCollum, then Trey's going to have to provide something offensively, whether it is being able to hit his threes or to get inside. Jonas Valanciunas is going to be huge too. He has been big in these matchups against the Kings. He plays very well against Sabonis inside, dominates really that matchup. So he's going to need to get going in order to hopefully draw some of the defense back in.
And Jim, the final thing that I'll leave with you here is when speaking to a lot of people this week is too. This is what, the 84th, 85th, or whatever. Like, you're going to do what you've done all season long. You can throw in some different wrinkles, but at the end of the day, you are who you are, and I got you here. So do you expect many changes tonight?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think there will be too many changes. I mean, not only what you did all season, but what you did against Sacramento. I think one of the things that might be the hardest to maintain that they've done in the five games they played against the Kings is just shoot the ball at a ridiculous level. I mean, CJ shot 70% from three in the five games. I think he played four, actually, against Sacramento, or three. But it was in high volume, like all these guys across the board. But
yeah, he was 9 of 12 from outside in the last game. Trey had 6 threes, so they definitely got that going.
Yeah, I mean, so just do what you've done all season and definitely copy as much as you can of your game plan against Sacramento because it's been working all the way through.
JD, thank you for your time. You ready?
Thanks, guys.
Let's do it. And Aaron Summers, let's get going. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For the Radio Roundtable. Our thanks to Aaron Summers and John DeShazer. That was fun. I think it brings to point what we started out the podcast with. His team's got talent. The reason they're on the roster, there's reasons for it. Now, just got to play as a team and get together and get the job done.
Yeah, and you know what? In the beginning of the show, I went through some of the reasons why it's so important for the Pelicans from a broad standpoint, from a team standpoint, to get in the playoffs. But I think for so many of the guys on this roster, it will be, regardless of the outcome, regardless of what happens against Oklahoma City, it'll be another great experience. It'll be another thing that they can move forward with into the offseason and into the summer. I mean, for guys to get another playoff series or two or three, think about how much of an impact that will make. And the Pelicans still have so many guys that are at the beginning part of their career. They have three guys that are only in their third year who contribute a ton. So I think that would be huge for them to be able to get into a playoff series and have the spotlight and some of the pressure that comes with that.
No doubt. All right. On Friday, we like to do trending numbers, and you have one for this game?
Yes, I do. My trending number is 55, 45, 81. And, you know, Gus, we talk about 50, 40, 90 players, 50% from the field, 40% from three-point range, 90% from the foul line. The Pelicans have shot 55% from the field against Sacramento this season in five games, 45% from three, and 81% from the foul line. So obviously they need to get a little bit better at the stripe. I mean, it's hard to shoot 90% as a team in the NBA. But just an example of just the offense has been at such an extreme high level this season when they've played against the Kings. And to me, I mean, you don't expect a high-scoring game in a playoff situation. Usually you have more of, for example, what we saw in that Heat-Sixers play-in game the other night where it was just a grind. It was physical, and it was hard to even, you know, score on consecutive possessions. So you would think that tonight's game will be more like that than maybe what we saw in the regular season where the Pelicans had 133 points, for example, in the game that Zion didn't play. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, I think if the Pelicans can come close to, even if they do 80% of or two-thirds of what they did in the regular season against the Kings, I think they'll be looking in very good shape tonight to be able to get win number 6 against Sacramento and get into the playoffs against Oklahoma City starting on Sunday.
I think it makes a lot of sense to see that. Jim Eichenhoff for Pelicans.com. Again, our thanks to Aaron Summers, John DeShazer. We will be with you on Monday, one way, shape, or form. And hopefully we'll be talking about game one of the first round of the Western Conference playoff series against the OKC Thunder. It's crazy when you think about that.
It is amazing. And, you know, we went through all these different scenarios of what could happen if the Pelicans win or lose tonight. It is pretty amazing to think about how different Monday's show is going to be based on Friday's outcome as well. So it's another reason why we're really hoping that they come through tonight. And then the next time we talk, we'll be talking about a playoff game. So let's hope that happens.
Yeah, I agree. Let's definitely hope that happens here as well when we take an interesting look at tonight. Let's see what takes place. Hey, as always, we appreciate you for tuning us in right here on the New Orleans Pelicans podcast.
Thanks for listening to the New Orleans Pelicans podcast. Join us three times per week on Pelicans.com, the Pelicans mobile app, the iHeartRadio app, or where you get your podcast. And be sure to give Jim and Gus a follow on X at Jim_Eichenhofer and GCAT_17. We'll see you next time, right here on the New Orleans Pelicans Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Did you know some travel credit cards offer 10 times points on your spending? Don't miss out on big rewards for your next trip. NerdWallet lets you compare smart travel credit cards side by side, curated by an expert team of finance nerds. What could future you do with better travel rewards? A free flight? A room upgrade? Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at NerdWallet.com. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. NerdWallet. Finance smarter.